You guys ready to have fun in church? It's going to be fun today. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but it's going to be fun. So today, we are going to look at this door that we have in front of us. The entire message is going to focus around this door and how we want to get what's on the other side of it. Here's what it says, first scripture, Matthew 7. Ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you'll discover. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. How do you find the open door? Persistence. That's what it all boils down to. That when you're standing firm in life and you're waiting to get through that door, you have to be persistent. We're going to talk about a breakthrough today, and I get it. Not everyone really knows what a breakthrough is, because sometimes that seems like a church term, but it's not. It's actually a military term, and it's a military concept, and what happens is when you fight in a war, the enemy is going to put a majority of their troops at a spot where they're guarding something that they need to keep, right? But when you're going after that, if that is the spot that you want, guess what you have to do? You have to go against the enemy's strongest forces to get what's on the other side of it. Like, generally in war, if your enemy's not guarding something, it's because they don't really care if you take it or not. But Satan knows, who is our enemy, that what is on the other side of this door is treasure, is God's promises, is God's best for you. So you know what? We need a breakthrough to get through there. And a breakthrough in life, what that is it's when a normal strategic location is revealed to you. Like, you need to know where the location is in a war to have that breakthrough. Like, because if you think you have a breakthrough and then it's really easy, you're like, oh, that wasn't it. You get to the other side of the door and you go, nope, wrong door, that wasn't it. That door wasn't God's best for you. That might have been what you thought was best for you, but it wasn't God's best for you, right? As much as this is so real in natural warfare, guess what? It's the same concept in spiritual warfare. Exact same. And we look at the Bible, and it says in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations. And you're like, man, yeah, that sounds awesome. Woo, let's do it. But then in 1 John 5:19, it says, the world lies in the power of the evil one. And you're like, ugh. Then it gets tough, right? Because you realize that there's a fight at that point. But if you remind yourself, strategic ground is never taken easily. It never will be. If it is a true strategic point that you're trying to get through, it won't be easy. Because there is a devil, he is a real person, and he is going to try to block you from what God has for you. So today we're going to look at Daniel 10, and in Daniel 10, he has a vision of like events that are pertaining to the future with wars and great times of hardship for God's people, right? But when Daniel gets this vision, what happens is all he knows is stuff's about to get bad. He fasted and prayed for 21 days. If you don't know what fasting means, it means he didn't eat. For 21 days. And after that 21 days, something finally happens, and he gets that revelation that he was waiting for. We look at it in Daniel 10, 12. It says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. This is an angel speaking. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. Let's stop there for a second. God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. It says right there, sometimes we feel like when we pray that we're praying and nothing's being heard. Because when we pray, there's not an answer immediately, right? That happens. But guess what? I have come to answer your prayer. That's what the angel says. As we continue on, we get better insight. For 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns the time yet to come. What just happened there in Daniel, that's not a magical equation. Like, you can't take this today and go, oh, if I fast and pray for 21 days, God answers my prayers. No, it doesn't work that way. What that is it's just a simple example of the fact that there are angelic forces and demonic forces, and that there is stuff happening that we're not aware of. The next point is this. There are things happening outside of our physical realm that we're not aware of. I know for some of us it's really hard to understand that we don't know everything, But we don't. There's stuff that God's aware of that we're not. And as you can see in that story, God had to do some working, right? He had to send an angel because a demonic force was preventing the angel that came to talk to Daniel to get the clarification. But Daniel could have fasted and prayed for 20 days and then be like, oh, it's not working, I give up. No, you got to be persistent. That's what we're talking about today. So what do we do with it? It says in Luke right here, one day Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop or lose hope. What that means is this. In life, you're hanging onto a rope. If you feel like you're about to let go of the rope and give up in life, guess what you do? You tie a knot and you hold on. That's what persistence is. Because if you're holding on to a rope and it's always easy, I have bad news for you. You're probably not doing what God's doing. Because if there is no spiritual attack happening in your life, that means that the devil does not view you as a threat. It's going to get real in here today, I'm telling you right now, you know. But just like in any war, there's many battles in a war, right? Like, there are very few wars in history where it just happened in one day and you're like, oh, it's over. No, it's battle after battle after battle. Because we are fighting not with flesh and blood, right? So here's what we're looking at today. 8 things to do while you're waiting for the breakthrough in your life. First one's pretty simple, but we got to cover it. Call on the name of Jesus. No spiritual breakthrough is greater or more important than what Jesus did for you on the cross when he died for you. If you do not understand that, number 2 through 8 don't matter. And if you don't know Jesus, guess what's going to happen? You can do 2 through 8, but the person you're praying to, I don't know who it is, but it's not Jesus. Because if you don't know him, you can't pray to him, right? So that's the first thing that you have to understand. Here's what it says in Romans 10. And it's true, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued and experience new life. If you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know if that's me or not. I don't know if I have. Guess what? The end of this service, you're going to get an opportunity to do so. Because if you don't take that step, like I said, nothing else matters. Point number two, prayer. Some of you are like, man, I knew that one was coming. I hate prayer. It's okay. Prayer is as difficult as what you make it, in all honesty. Like, when I pray to God, in Nathanisms, right? You know? Like, I'm not like, dear most heavenly gracious Father, you know, the heavens and earth. It's like, no, that's not me. I'm like, hey, what's up, God? How we going? You know, how we doing today? You know, you want to know why? Because God knows my heart behind it. He knows my heart. Ephesians 6:12 says this. Man, today we're going to be looking at the Passion Translation a lot. You guys got to look it up. This is a great translation. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. In rebellion. We need to understand, church, that what is happening, that hand-to-hand combat, is rebellion. And what do we do with rebellion? We fight against it. We say, no, this is not happening. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. That is why when you wake up some days and you go, man, this world is messed up. That's why. Because we are in a dark world that's in bondage. This is Satan's territory, whether we like it or not, because of what happened in the garden. So guess what? When you're fighting that battle, it says right there, a powerful class. So you can't take natural stuff trying to fight a spiritual war. It has to be on the same playing field. But here's what we do. Sometimes we think that our breakthrough in life comes from just talking about our problems. Like, I'm going through something, so I'm going to talk to Brother Sean about it. And then I'm going to talk to Aaron about it. And then I'm going to talk to Denise about it. And then I'm going to talk to Ricky about it. And guess what that is? It's called complaining. That's what it is. It's complaining. If you talk about your problem and you're not praying about it, you're just complaining. And your complaining isn't going to get anything done, right? We need to stop talking about our problems and talking about our problems and start confessing the word of God over the problem. Because if you don't confess the word of God over it, it's just simple complaining, right? You need to stop looking at people to get your breakthrough in life. Like, we think if I become friends with someone that's rich, then I get the breakthrough, the financial breakthrough. Or if I play the lottery enough times, then I'll get the spiritual break or the financial breakthrough. It doesn't work that way. That's not how you get the breakthrough. You get the breakthrough by storming the gates of heaven with your prayers. A persistent prayer. What does that mean? Daniel was 21 days. I don't know what it is for you, but some of us in the room, we pray for a minute and we're like, okay, time to eat. Let's go. Or the only time you do pray is when you're eating, right? That's not enough. I'm glad that your food's blessed, but that might be the only thing in your life that's blessed if that's the only thing you're praying for, right? Let's get real here today. Number three is this. We got fasting. This one's tough in American culture because we're like, don't take my food away, right? I work hard for it, you know? The reality is, though, Jesus taught us in Scripture there are some spiritual breakthroughs in life that will not happen without fasting. They won't happen. And you're like, you better have Scripture for this. I do, because otherwise I wouldn't say that, right? In Mark 9, there's this story that the disciples are trying to cast a demon out of a guy's son. And here's what they say in Mark 9:29. This type of powerful spirit can only be cast out by fasting and prayer. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Don't get mad at me. There are some spiritual battles in life. The only way you get the breakthrough is by fasting and prayer. So if you tried every other thing in life, every other point that we're talking about tonight, and it's not working, guess what? We can probably go back to this scripture and realize, guess what? You need to fast. What is fasting? What is the point of fasting? It's like anything. It takes away stuff so you can focus on God. Because we live in a culture where it's stuff, 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 and stuff ends up having us instead of us having stuff, right? But when you fast, what it does is it says, I don't need food. I don't need electronics. I don't need Netflix. I don't need any of that. For a certain amount of time, it is me and God and water. And guess what? How many days can you live on water alone? I'll give you a hint. Jesus was out for 40 days. So it's at least 40 days, right? So some of us in this room, that might be your reality today. And the reality of it is that some of these spiritual warfares we talk about, that's the only way that you're going to get relief. Number four, we have this one. Speak faith. And right underneath speak faith, put live faith. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to. If you're a person where your faith happens on Sunday morning from 10 to 11:30, that's not living faith. That's putting on a show. Just being real here, right? Jesus taught us to pray in faith, and here's what he said in Mark 11. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, and it'll be yours. When you're praying, you need to have confidence in that prayer. Like sometimes when we pray to God for something, we're like, dear most heavenly gracious Father, I pray that, you know, maybe I'll get it. No, you need to have confidence. When you come to the throne of God, there needs to be boldness and confidence. Why? Is it because you're good enough? No, but Jesus is. And he's the one that said you can do it. So guess what? When you go to the throne, say, hey, guess what, Lord? If this is in your will, make it happen, because your word says that it doesn't come back void, right? So if it doesn't come back void and I'm standing on it, let's make it happen. Let's get this done, right? Number five, we need to align ourselves with God's will. Do you realize that there are addicts out there, probably in this area, that are praying to get their next drug, praying to get their next drink of booze when they're an alcoholic? They're praying for it. Is God going to give it to them? No, because it's not in God's will for you. What's on the other side of this door is what God has for you. Some of us, though, we mix up our wants and our needs. We mix them up. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and just because something is good for someone else doesn't mean it's good for you, right? We got to start thinking about that way. 1 John 5:14 says this. Goes back to the confidence. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. For if we ask anything agreeable to his will, he will hear us. Anything agreeable to his will. If it's on the other side of this door, it's God's best for you. It's in his will. It doesn't matter what you ask. You will have it. But it's got to be agreeable to God's will. And then here's the question that we get. Well, how do I know what's in God's will? How do I know what's on the other side of that door? Quick answer, read your Bible. Not a popular answer. No one wants to hear it. How do you know what God's will is? Read the Word of God. It tells you in it. If you're praying for stuff and you don't know if it's in God's will, research it. We live in an era with a thing called Google. You can find answers really, really quick. Scriptural answers. What is God's will about this? Bang, it pulls up five things that give you scriptures. And then you read it and go, oh, yep, that's in God's will. Okay, let's pray for it. It's not hard, guys, but what it takes is this. Time and effort. Stuff that in America we don't always like to talk about. We don't want someone to take our time. And sometimes we don't want to put forth the effort. Being a millennial, I get it. We're not exactly always known for putting our effort into stuff. Guess what, millennials? If that's you, time, effort. You got to work for it in life. By spending time in God's word, here's what's going to happen. You're going to read the same passage over and over and over again throughout your life. And then one day, bam, you read it and you're like, is this ink wet? Like, you look like it was just wrote for you. You're like, this is crazy. How have I never understood it this way? Guess what God did? Besides blow your mind, he just illuminated the word for you. He just basically said, hey, you're at a season in your life now where I can illuminate this for you where you're going to understand it. There are some things in the Bible that we're going to read that God hasn't illuminated it to us yet because we're not ready for it. We're not ready. We're not in the right season of our life. Number six, we got this one, patience. Y'all knew this was coming. Let's be real here. We're talking about breakthroughs today, and you know patience is going to be in there. I heard this last night, and it made me laugh because they're like, someone said, you know, you got to put patience in there because that's, you know, your fallback plan in case it doesn't happen. And I was like, no, I put patience in there because it's in the Word of God. That's why it's in there, you know. Patience is something that's easier said than done. Hebrews 6:12 says this. So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Strong faith, patient endurance. They go together. In life, you have to be patient. I have a 3-year-old daughter. God is teaching me a lot in this season of life about patience. Because even though my daughter wants applesauce, if I say, hey, Gianna, do you want applesauce? No. She wants applesauce. But because Daddy asked, do you want applesauce? Now she doesn't want it. I walk out of the room, and then she'll go find someone in the church and go, can you give me applesauce? And I'm like, my gosh, my people in my church don't think that I feed my kid, right, you know? And I'm like, I just offered you applesauce. You didn't want it. Patience. We have to have patience. Do we realize that patience is a fruit of the Spirit? What that means is you have patience. Stop saying you don't. It's already in you. You have it. But patience is like a muscle. If I were to get a bodybuilder stand up here next to me and say, hey, one of us here lifts weights for a living and one of us eats a lot of McDonald's, which one do you think, what category do you think I'd fit into? The McDonald's, right? I love me some McDonald's, man. That stuff is great. Their fries are perfect. I'm making y'all hungry right now, aren't I? I took a note out of Pastor Scott's book there, talking about food. You know, but the reality of it is, one of them chose to exercise, one of them did not. It's like that with patience. You can walk around and look at people and go, they exercise patience, and they do not. Because some people, you say one thing to them, or their kid does one thing, and bam, they fly off the hook of their kid. And you're like, you're going to learn something this season of your life. If not, just have a 3-year-old, right? You'll learn some stuff really quick. If we don't exercise patience, here's what happens. That rope we're holding on to, you're going to let go. You're going to give up. You're going to get frustrated and say, I can't do this anymore. That's why patience is important. Because if you don't have the patience and that endurance that we're talking about, that's what helps you to hold on. But if you don't have patience, you end up giving up over time. Don't let your passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Do not let anger control or be fueled for revenge, not even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. I love that. Who is the devil? A slanderous accuser. That's what he is. That's who he is. Ground toys. Because you're not. Guess what? He's a slanderous accuser, and he will do anything and everything to wreck you, to wreck your family, to wreck your life, to wreck your marriage. He will do anything, right? And what is he, and how does he do it? He manipulates you. He says, man, you know what? This door might be God's best for you, but I'm going to put a door right next to it that looks the exact same, has the exact same handle on it, but it's easier to get into. What is that called? Manipulation. He's deceiving you. You know, we have to understand that. And when it comes to forgiveness, it is not an emotion. Stop saying it's an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice. You can either do it or not do it. Let's get real here today. In my life, there have been people that have hurt me down to the core of my very being and made me want to give up in life, made me want to give up in ministry because of stuff that they have said to me and my family that hurt. Guess what? I do not have a right to hold a grudge or an offense. I don't. Here's what it says in Matthew 6, that if you want to experience peace in your life, you need to forgive. Bitter unforgiveness that's sitting in your heart that you need to deal with. What I love about this is God will strengthen you to be able to forgive even when you never think you could. That's why when you watch stuff on TV about someone, it's a court show, and someone's, you know, child just got brutally murdered, and the person can get up there after the interview and go, I forgive them for what they did. And all of us are watching going, what? They just killed your kid. Did you even love your kid? Like, that's your first thought. And then you realize on the inside that God gave them the strength to forgive. He'll give you that strength. But you need to ask for it. You need to call on that. Last point is this. We need to fight with praise and thanksgiving. We just said it in that last song. That's how we fight our battles. We fight them with praise and thanksgiving. You look at this door here, and it almost seems like a roadblock. Like, all too often in life, we look at this door, we examine it from top to bottom, trying to figure out if there's an easy way to get through it besides the key that opens it. That's why we're talking about the key today, because the only way you're getting through there is with the key, right? Now, in war, there are times where you hit roadblocks. It seems like there's a stalemate and you can't get any further. Guess what? That's right before the breakthrough. If you're here tonight or here today at church, I want to tell you, if you feel like you're stuck, guess what? The breakthrough is around the corner. Don't give up. Don't give up, right? All too often in life, though, we think that, you know what, if I just stick my foot through this door, maybe I'll get through it and I'll get God's blessings on the other side. Doesn't work that way. You can't stick your foot through that door. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 20, and it's going to talk to you, we're going to talk about a story on how we fight our battles, right? What's happening here is a war is about to happen, and this is the story with King Jehoshaphat. And this is God's people, mind you. And King Jehoshaphat knows that the war is about to happen, and he goes into prayer, and here's what he does. God, what the heck? I have three armies getting ready to come against me, and I feel like we're about to die. Where are you at? I feel like you're not here. Any of you feel like that before? Don't raise your hand, but you're like, God, I feel like I'm sinking. I am going under. Where are you? You know? And here's what the Lord says through a prophet. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who lived in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Tomorrow, march down against them, and they will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the edge or at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerel. Let me give a disclaimer real quick. There's words in the Old Testament, I have no idea how to pronounce them, so just bear with me, okay? Because we're about to go through some names and stuff where it's like, I don't have any idea. You will not fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face him tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. You want to know what happens after this? A very important part in Scripture. The king falls flat down on his face and starts worshiping God, and everyone around him does the same thing. Now, I don't know about you, but if God were to speak that to me, I'd be like, okay, I'm sorry, Lord, right? Like, that's pretty crazy. He's saying, hey, go out there tomorrow. I got this. I'm going to fight the battle for you. You were just saying, God, where are you? Guess what? I showed up in the nick of time. Guess what God does all too often? Shows up in the nick of time. He's done it for this church over and over and over again. And people are thinking, God's not going to show up. Yes, he is, just not in your timeline. Right? Let's be real here. Verse 18, here's what it says. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people in Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites from the Kehathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Stop there. I don't care if you can sing or not. And our God, Father in heaven, don't care either. You want to know what he wants? A loud voice. That's what God wants. He don't care how good you can sing because he gave you the voice to have, right? Let's be real here. So when you're worshiping God, we need to stop going, this is how I fight my battles, right? You want to know why my voice is hoarse this morning? Because during worship, I'm like, this is how I fight my battles, right? Why is it? Because that's a loud voice, man. That's how I'm going about it. Next scripture, number 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa, and they set out. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said to them, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord our God, for his love endures forever. What does that mean? That means the worship team was leading the army into battle, right? They'd be like Pastor Scott saying, okay, Abide in Word Church, we're going to war. Worship team, let's go. You out front. Everyone with the guns. You in the back. And we're all like, say, what? Why are you putting us out front? There's a reason behind it, though. Next scripture, it says this. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. That's the three different people invading, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy them and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. 4:24. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one escaped. That's got to be a crazy feeling, that you walk to the battlefield and you get out there, you have three enemies, and everyone's dead. And you're like, whoa, that was awesome. That was cool, right? If there's something in the Bible that I want to get replayed when I'm older, you know, like when I pass away, and I'm like, God, big screen, I want to see that happen. I want to see their reaction, where they're just like, dang, God is good. We ask ourselves, how do we win that battle? How did they win it? Did they win it with armor? No. Guns? No. Swords? No. They won it with praise and thanksgiving. The fact that the worshipers were out front is the reason why they won that war. That's pretty intense to think about, isn't it? It makes you think about worship in church a lot different. Like when you're talking about fighting your battles, do you actually mean that you're fighting them? Or are you proclaiming, this is how I fight my battles, by lifting my voice to God? Do we understand, church, that when you worship God, chains are broken in the spiritual realm? They are broken. And you may not realize it immediately, but over time you're like, man, the door opened up. How is that possible? It can be because of your praise and worship. But all too often we look at this door, we look at the eight keys that we had, and we're using the wrong one. Sometimes we use the key of, let's just talk about our problems. I'm just going to complain about them and talk about them. And if I talk with enough people that I go to church with, that key will work, right? No. Nope, don't work. Others of us, you know, we're kind of that dominant personality like me where you're like, you know what? I'm just going to kick my way through that door. Nope, don't work. It doesn't work that way. You might be able to think you can kick your way through that door. You're just going to knock the door over. It ain't going to work, right? Others of us, here's how we stand in life. I don't need that door. I don't want what's behind it. What is that called? Denial. You look at it, and even though on the inside of you, you want what's best, because you don't want to put in the effort to get the right key, you're just like, no, I don't care. Whatever. I don't need God's best. My life's all right. It's going good. Nothing tragic's happened. Guess what? It will. That's called life. The other one is this. About to get real here. You ready for this? It's a key that looks identical to the key that opens the door. You can even stick it in the lock, but it doesn't turn. And what is that key? The key of divorce. We live in a modern era where that is the biggest lie that we face. That if we give up on our marriage, guess what? It'll get you to what God has for best, you know, what's best for you. What's God's best for you and for your family is to stay together. It is. That's just the reality of it. I'm not saying that to try to hurt anyone's feelings today, but the reality of it is when you go through something like that, there are consequences to your actions. So we need to understand that stop reaching for this key first. Try the real keys before you think you're going to get to that point. Go and talk to your pastor about it. Don't just wake up one day and think, you know what, I'm just going to get divorced, and all it is just signing a dotted line, right? No, it's not. Because you're not just affecting yourself. You're affecting a lot of people around us. But you want to know what happens? In life, there is a right key. And this key is not always the same for everyone. It could be fasting. It could be prayer, faith, align yourself with God's will, patience, forgiveness, praise and thanksgiving. It could be patience. Right? No one wants to try the key of patience, though. That's not a fun key to try. Let's be real here. Worship is a much funner key to try to open the door. But sometimes that's not always the key. But when you turn that key and it's the right one, guess what happens? The door that God has for you, the blessings, you can just walk on through. There's no struggle once you find the right key. If you have the right key, you just walk right into God's blessings. And when you get there, you're like, man, this is better than what I thought it was going to be. Right? But all too often, we get so focused on what is on this side of the door, the battle, instead of what's on the other side of the door. The blessing on the other side of the door is exponentially greater than anything that you will encounter trying to get the right key. Right? You have to understand that. Here's what it says in Psalms 43. Then I will say to my soul, do not be discouraged, do not be disturbed, for I fully expect my Savior God to break through for me. Man, that's powerful. It doesn't say I kind of hope. I hope it happens. No, I fully expect that He is going to get that breakthrough for me. This morning, we're going to talk about a couple things as we get ready to wrap up. We're going to end service a little bit different than what we normally do. But I want to extend the invitation back to our point number one, where you need to call on the name of the Lord. Because if you don't do that, you can try all the other ones. It's not going to work because you're praying to the wrong God. There's only one true God, right? So you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's where you get the access. That's how you get the keys. The keys come from Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have keys, and then you get frustrated. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. The most important time of service. Please, no one looking around. We don't need any peekers. If that is you today, where you're saying, Pastor Nathan, I have never in my life called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't. But what you said today has sparked some interest, and I want to know Him. I want Him to be real in my life. If that is you, be bold today. Be bold. Raise your hand up. No one's looking around. That's you. I want to pray with you. Anyone in the room? Dude, that is awesome. We got a bunch of Christians in the room. Okay, keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Next thing is, you're someone you knew who God was. You knew who Jesus was, but you walked away. You walked away from it because something bad happened in your life, and you thought God was responsible. And you forgot that God's a good God, and God doesn't ever bring harm onto your life. He brings blessings and prosperity and love and health and healing. That's who God is. If that is you today where you say, Lord, I want to come back. I want to come back to you. I want to know you. If that is you, just raise your hand today. Anyone in the room? Got a couple hands raised. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I want everyone to keep their heads bowed, their eyes closed. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And this prayer isn't something that we just do because, you know, it's a formality and it's just something we do in church. No, there is power behind what you're about to pray. Because you're about to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to be in control of your life, and you're going to ask him to forgive you of your sins. So repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose 3 days later. Jesus, I want you in control of my life to be the one that makes the calls. I defer to you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.